Welcome to Our Imperfect Life, the podcast addressing the unscripted reality of daily life. Now, here are your hosts, Rob and Patricia.
Hello there, my name is Rob.
And I'm Patricia.
Welcome again to Our Imperfect Life.
With friends.
That's right, and this friend we've actually had on, it was one of our first guests, and it's a pleasure to have her back on the show again. She has a new book out.
Dr. Amy Johnson with Just a Thought.
Well, welcome to Dr. Amy Johnson for the second time on our podcast. I mean, we're just so honored to have you here and like the second time.
I can't believe I get to be a repeat guest.
I didn't know.
I didn't mess up too bad the first time.
Oh, no. Not at all. We're absolutely thrilled. And the reason why we're having you on is to talk about your brand new book, which is coming out October 1st, correct?
Yeah.
And it's called Just a Thought.
Yeah.
And there's a tagline there. Do you want to tell them up the tagline?
Oh gosh, let's see if I can remember it. The no willpower approach to end self-doubt and make peace with your mind.
Absolutely. You got it right.
Yeah. And an extra 10 points.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So this is book number 3.
Technically, it's 4. It's book three. Yeah. If you go to Amazon and you try to buy all the books that I have to offer, it's 3 because I wrote a book, published it, and then I decided to pull it because my understanding of things changed.
Yes.
So I just got my own box of these books yesterday, actually, in the mail. And I was telling somebody, I'm just not that excited. And I'm like, I guess because I've been through this 4 times. I mean, I'm excited for this book to get out.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get the box in the mail and be all giddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just wasn't coming up yesterday that way. But then I was like, oh, I guess I have been through this 4 times. But, but then I talk with people like you and I like get, you know, there's different ways the excitement shows up. So I am very excited about this book, but I want that like movie moment where you're like, my book is here. And I didn't have it, but that's okay.
Well, you can just pretend. You can just do it again. Yes. Just fold up the box and just do it again. So I'm very excited and I can't wait. I have mine on pre-order. So I'm very excited. And awesome. I also got a wonderful sneak peek, which I know our listeners will be pretty jealous of. but yeah, it was wonderful, Amy. It was really wonderful. And I think that what I really let's get right into it. I think what I really enjoyed about the whole theme of it was that there's hope. That's the word that kept popping out for me. So could you speak a little bit more on why? Tell us like why you wrote it and what your intentions were. And let's see if we can, you know, take out hope from that too.
Yeah. So my thinking writing this book, like to me in my mind, the big main theme and idea is that we are, as you know, we are peace and quiet and clarity and love and all of that stuff. And we often don't have the experience of that. And why not? Like, why the heck not? And the why not, as I see it, is that we have so much conditioned thinking. We have a brain that has evolved to predict the future, to keep us alive. We learn all of this stuff, which makes us very smart, but not necessarily happy. And we are so identified with that. And when I say we, I mean literally every human. So this isn't like some people, I mean, maybe some people more than others, but it's all of us to a large degree, like just by virtue of being a human. We're so identified with what our mind is always doing and talking about and all the me and the comparisons and the worry and just the story of our life. We are deaf to it because we've lived in it our entire lives. I think helping people start to spot it, and it doesn't take much, but just even some of the stories in the book and just looking at how it works and why it's doing this, it helps us start to spot it. And then that thing that we are deaf to, it's like living next to train tracks. Like you don't even hear them after a while. That's how we are with our mind. But once somebody pulls your attention there, you're like, oh yeah, my mind does do that. And oh, everyone's mind does that. And that's how this starts to unravel. That's how we start to see, oh, this isn't me. And we get to feel and experience more of the peace that's there beyond what our mind is always talking about.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I think that that for me was the biggest thing, is that everyone suffers like that way, and everyone has a brain that takes off on, you know. And I love how you say the train tracks, because I was just speaking with a change coach, actually, Chris, and we were talking, and I said, sometimes I feel like my thoughts are on like a train, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to go there. I don't want, and he brought back to me, he's like, yeah, train of thought. And I'm like, what? I'm like, it's like the first time I ever heard train of thought, but yeah and it's kind of like a theme too, like how you're saying, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's just going, and you know, until we know. And what's funny too, is I lived near train tracks, and I didn't hear them. I didn't hear them after so many years, you know, living there for 30 years, I had no idea, you know. And then when people would be new to it, they'd hear them banging against each other.
You know, what's so funny, Patricia, I have to say this, like, I grew up right by train tracks, and I actually had a chapter that I wrote, a full chapter that was in this book, where I talked about that. And then using that as a metaphor, and then the chapter ended up getting edited out for various reasons. So that's so funny that it's coming up.
So it was derailed in this.
It was derailed. Exactly. How far are we going to take this metaphor?
All the way down the line.
I hope to stop this soon.
Yeah. That's too funny. Yeah. But
we'll stop at the next station.
Yeah. But I mean, like, really, you know, to me, like, that's standing out to me more and more, is just not being alone and not knowing. Yeah. So where do you go from there then? Like, how do you get, like, you're looking at, we're always looking at what's moving. Like you say in the book, like, we're always like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's my identity. That's me. That's because of him. That's because of whatever outside situations. How do you go inside without becoming like a guru or, you know, or like, you know, I don't know. Like, how do we get quiet?
I think this is part of the issue, is part of what's busying up our mind is this question. So I'm so glad you're saying it, you know, but it's like this thinking that now there's another thing we have to do. We have to get quiet. We have to look within. And I talk about that in the book, and me too, forever was like, okay, how, like, that's such a huge human question. Mm-hmm. How do we do this? And where is it? And even in asking that, it starts to look like another thing we have to do. Mm-hmm. So I think what's helpful, and this is so hard to kind of wrap our heads around it, we kind of can't wrap our heads around it, but to see that, just in seeing how much our mind's always talking, that it isn't our mind, that this is a universal human process that plays out for everyone, there's a natural shifting away from it that starts to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's tough sometimes to hear, because everyone's like, okay, well then how do I facilitate that? Or like, okay, how do I make that happen? You know, it's just, and that's more of the same. That's our mind wanting to do it for us. But it's like, you know, the chapter where I talk about the TV, like when we're sitting right on top of the TV and it's your whole experience, But as you back up, and then you hear pots and pans clinging and cars driving outside, and then you're like, oh, it's just that. Naturally, you can watch that show out of the corner of your eye, and you're still kind of getting the plot and what's happening in the show, but it's just not that big. I think that's, I don't know, I think that's one answer anyway. I'm not going to say it's the answer, but it's a way, like, that's how it looks. Yeah. Is how we get quiet, is we just come to see through what's in the way, period. And naturally we fall into the quiet rather than finding the quiet being a job we need to do.
Where that is us. That's us in that quiet. That's our true essence. And I love that. And, you know, the falling asleep and the quiet right before you drift. And I think that's such a good reminder too. Like, that's the feeling, but you can have that when you're awake. You can have that when you're at work, and, you know, it's, you know, picking up your kid from the bus stop and the lady's chattering next to you. You can still have that. And that's wonderful, you know.
And we do, but if we think it's going to look like some giant meditative experience, then we're going to miss it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's subtle. That's the thing about all this. It's such a paradox. It's, it's profound and it's huge, but it's also so subtle and it's mm-hmm. so commonplace. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like when you have those moments of quiet, you're like, oh yeah, this mm-hmm. is part of this. I'm here a lot, you know, mm-hmm. but we think it's going to be bigger.
Right. Right. We think the bells and whistles are going to start, you know? Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking? You're again, Rob is usually like, just when he talks to anyone, he's like mesmerized. So I think it's just,
I like what we're talking about. So I have to admit, if anybody's noticed this on this show lately, is originally I did a lot of the talking only because I had to, because you had to grow into this. And now it's the other way around and it works for me. I'm along for the ride. I enjoy the information. I enjoy hearing the conversation. So I guess my question would be, with this new book, what would be like one of your favorite sections that you would like people to get most out of the book?
Yeah. I think I really like the sections where, to me, you know, I'm biased. I don't really know how it comes across, but to me, it's like there are parts of the book that are just really fun, simple little stories. And then there are parts that get a little deep that were harder for me to write, because I think it's really trying to describe mm-hmm. something that's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. But I kind of love that section about what minds do. Like just looking at, you know, yeah, minds are always comparing. That's literally, there's a reason for that. They need to compare. That's just one of the tools they use to try to know what's happening in their environment. For a brain, let's say, a brain is always comparing because it needs to know what's happening so it can keep us alive. Like back in caveman days, if a brain didn't compare, oh, are you stronger than that person? Then you might be killed. Like it had to constantly measure you against the environment, against other people, against everything. So it's so cool to me to see how our brain evolved to do all this stuff to keep us alive. But then now today, we don't need any of that really. Like we still need a brain that's going to keep us alive, but the ways that it learned to do it, you know, are outdated. And so now we're left with a brain predicting things, which means worrying, comparing, problem solving. But in, you know, 2021, in most of our lives, thankfully, we're not facing actual life or death situations. And mm-hmm. some people are, but like right. we're, you know, most of us listening to this are not. Right. So our brain is still up to those tricks where it's like doing all that stuff and we're believing it. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. you know, I really, like we're taking it so seriously, but it's not necessary today.
Yeah. And that's where, like for me, that's where the anxiety came in, you know, because I thought I was always in always in danger, but I'm not in danger. Like, and it's just like this thing where, you know, it was just like this back and forth. Like I wanted to take my head off completely and put it on the side and clear mm-hmm. it out and put it back, because it was just like, I can't keep thinking this stuff. Like this is just, yeah. you know, and then things calm down. They really do. I want to say to you though, Amy, that I really like the part where you ask us questions. So like a journal, like in a way, you know, where you can grab your own little notebook or something and write it, or you can write it right in the book if you would like, you know, I think that that's really helpful. Is there a reason you did that?
I think, as you know, like in the Little School of Big Change, I always sort of walk people through this way of seeing things with a lot of what if questions.
Yes.
Because same in the book or anywhere. Like I'm not telling anyone what to believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't claim to have the market on the truth of anything. I'm just sharing what I've seen that's been helpful and what mm-hmm. I've shared that's been helpful for other people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really powerful for people to kind of go through and be like, huh, what if this is true? And to truly sit with that. Now, I would be the queen in the past of like, oh, yeah, what if that's true? Let me get through the rest of the book, because then I'll be happy. Then I'll be enlightened if I finish this book. Right. But to really slow down and ask these questions, consider this stuff, and just in a simple what if way. So that's why a lot of those questions are phrased that way. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And I love that. And I also love when you say, I don't know, because I find myself also doing that. And I think I've mentioned that a couple times before, but that I don't know. And also the word and, you know, we just did a podcast the other day, you know, life is wonderful and it's messy. And mm-hmm. I think that and is just such a beautiful. So can you say a little bit more on that and part?
Yeah. I think, when we're and I don't want to make this sound like it's an either or, but there are times when we all feel like we're very much in our heads, like you were just describing, where you just want to take the thing off. And we know by how it feels horrible. We know because everything looks very black or white. Everything looks very serious. Everything's before and after. It's all about time. It's all about us when we're really living from that, when everything we're experiencing is very filtered by our mind. Mm-hmm. So when things are very filtered by our mind, there's not a lot of room for and. It is very black or white, mm-hmm. either or, this or that. And that causes a lot of anxiety for people. Things get very serious, and it feels like we have a lot on our shoulders to figure out when it's all like that. Yeah. So what I love to see with and is that as we kind of, like we were saying earlier, as we get quiet because we see all this thinking for what it is, and we naturally shift away from it, and we live in this kind of more expansive, open kind mm-hmm. of place. Mm-hmm. Everything shows up there. Like, it's so hard to describe, but there, you start to see the ands. You start to see just what you said, like, wow, things are perfect right now. And I have no money in the bank, and the kids are screaming at me, and the house is on fire. Like, that's a pretty extreme, but you know, like you see where there truly is all things. And for us as individuals, a lot of us, we see, wow, look at my mind. It is running around, freaking out, worrying, anxious, doubting me. And beneath this machine churning out same stuff everybody's machine churns out, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm living my life and I'm doing all right. And you know, so like in that quiet that we were talking about is when the and shows up, and it's like, wow, everything gets so much more expansive.
Yeah. And I love what you say about the black and white, because that's what I was, black and white. That's it. There was nothing in between. There was no, and then the, you know, the famous book, The 50 Shades of Grey. But I say now, like, that and is the gray. It's like a gradient kind of, and it's like it fades to white and it goes, you know, it swings, you know, the other side and it's darker, but it's, and is such a beautiful word. I love it. And I think, don't you have an and sign behind
you? Yeah, I do. Have the
yes.
Wheel of Fortune, Aphrosam.
I love it. I love it. And you know, it takes a bit to go see that, you know, it takes a little while. So,
I mean, there are days when we're black and white mm-hmm. and there's days that we're quiet and have that and, mm-hmm. but I think the nice part about all of it is the fact that I know personally, I'm not as black and white as I always was. Right now, at this point in the world, you know, there's too much black and white. This is this, and that's that. And mm-hmm. I wish the world had more and. Mm-hmm. So if anything, we're trying to put a little more of the world of and out there. And that black and white now is probably a point where there's such divisiveness with black and white. It's more than just it's this or that. It's, well, if you believe this, then I'm not talking to you again. And that's the ridiculousness of all of it. If you stop and think and listen to the quiet.
Do you have more to say on that though, Amy, like where, you know, we're in a global pandemic. We have a lot of upheaval with a lot of different things. Do you have anything to say about how people can see things a little bit less?
Yeah. I mean, I think like you guys are saying, you know, the and is always there. We just don't always see it. There is always, and this kind of speaks to the hope that you felt maybe in reading it too, that you mentioned earlier, but like Rob's saying as well, like, and there is always understanding to be had between any people in any situation. There is always a shared, because we have a shared essence. We are that person and they are us. Mm-hmm. And we get caught up in thinking that says, I'm different. You believe this. So I can't talk to you because of all this mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. But to see that that is a function of thought. If our minds were really quiet and we just didn't take our thinking so seriously, we still might not agree on everything, but we'd be able to be friends with anyone. Sure. We'd be able to say, hey, you have your opinions. I have mine. Fine. That's not who we are. Yeah. That's what I feel like the world can be like. It has maybe been more like that at times in the past. And that's what we kind of feel like we're getting away from. Mm-hmm. But we can see how it's so easy that we have these thoughts and beliefs that feel personal, like they have, like there are, like our identity is wrapped up in them, like it means all this stuff. And then you can see how people just dig their heels in, and then it runs away in the black and white direction, right. You know, but all of that is like a misunderstanding about our experience. Mm-hmm. When we feel, think something or feel something, and it feels so personal and mm-hmm. thick and like, you know, divisive and black and white like that, that can start to show us, oh, this is just a brain picking a side. This is not, babies don't have that. Yeah. Kids don't have that. 2-year-olds don't have that. Mm-hmm. They hate the kid that just stole their toy, but then they're 2 minutes later, they're going to be their friend again. Their mind yep. doesn't make up all this stuff about what it means and what it means yeah. about them, you know? Yeah. So this is stuff we've learned, and we've all learned it as our mind has evolved, as our brain has gotten so smart, and as we've identified with thought. When we stop identifying with thought, thought mm-hmm. flows through, we feel it, it's wonderful, but we don't have to hang on to it and mm-hmm. identify with it so much. Mm-hmm. And when we aren't so identified with thought, we truly are naturally in that and place where we just find that shared understanding and things, you know, conflicts and things resolve so much more easily.
That's why I think this is a perfect time for this book to come out. I really yeah. do. Mm-hmm. It's what's needed right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah. And I think that that's too why we want to keep promoting, and we keep having our friends on and, you know, the coaching friends and, you yeah. know, because it's just people need to have that message. So many years ago, you didn't know what somebody believed. You had no idea, and you were still friends, and you still said hi to the yeah. neighbors. And now there's neighbors who won't even look at one another because of different feelings and things. And I love what you say about kids. Hannah came home today and she had an issue with another class came into their classroom and they wrote, I guess, on the desk with pencil. And, you know, she's like, she gets off the bus and I said, hi. She said, hi. I said that it sounded like a different kind of hi. And I said, what's going on? And she said, do you know that the class came in and they wrote on the desk with pencils? And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, what happened? And she said, well, the teacher cleaned it up. That's it. There you go. You know, and then I know like tomorrow, you know, they'll just meet on the, you know, in the, you know, recess and they'll just have fun together and it'll be 2 classes together again. So mm-hmm. it's just funny how it's just like, okay. And she probably will never bring it up again.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I love that about kids. Cause they even had like a thing about kids and how resilient they are and how we're not different. We're just, it's just the conditioning, right? Yeah. Like comes in.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that we start to see what our feelings are showing us. And I talk about that a little bit in the book, you know, that when it suddenly feels like something is at stake, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. like, oh no, like that they're wrong and you need to see things my way. Mm-hmm. Or even in the case of an individual feeling really anxious, like, oh my gosh, my safety is suddenly at stake. Mm-hmm. My okayness is at stake. Mm-hmm. When those feelings, and they come on us all the time. I mean, we live in those a lot. But when we're just sitting around in our homes and all of a sudden our identity and our faith and our safety and all of these things feel like they're at stake, that has to start to be a wake-up call of like, oh, your mind just jumped on a train. Yes. Yep. A train that we don't want to jump on. We're going to not be, you know, like exactly. It's so simple. But we don't, no one ever taught us this stuff. No. So we run away with the stories. It's right. a runaway train, but we're on the stories. We don't realize we just jumped on a thought train. Right. We think, oh yeah, that is right. And I can't believe they do think that way. And what's going to happen to our world if everyone believes that and snowballs down?
Yeah.
And now we hate our neighbors.
Right. Right. And we have other people. Yeah.
Yeah. So just seeing what the feeling is showing us, that it's showing us that our mind just told a story that we're believing. Mm-hmm. That I feel like is such a big thing. It just turns everything around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's hard to see that. It's hard to see that because we have a lifetime of jumping on board with the feelings, you know, and being like, yeah, I'm right. And it's kind of just the opposite.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're almost like hobos. We've jumped somebody else's train.
Yeah. 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 And that's, yeah, where we start like going on other people's train, or we pull other people with us. And it's like,
here, come on, get on. And then you pull them up and they're on the next thing you know, they're in the seat next to you.
Yeah. And you're like, whose train is this? Do I even
exactly.
You know what I mean? But you're going 100 miles an hour and you're like, well, I guess I'm on the train.
I don't even recognize anything going on here. Yeah. It's just, oh my gosh. It's so good. But I mean, I love too the energy. When you and I had talked in the spring, I was having a hard time. And you mentioned about how anxiety is energy. Mm-hmm. And it was like the most hysterical thing I ever heard. I had been crying and I had reached out and I'm like, I need help again. And, but when you said that, Amy, oh my gosh, it's so true. It's all energy and it just wants to move through. And that's what I've been sharing with people so much. I'm like, it just wants to move through. And then we catch it kind of. Well, we do in our head. And then we start putting story behind it and, you know, thinking it's ours and it's really not, it's not. So can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I love that. And just how simple it is. And that even the stories that come up, our brain is a storyteller. It wants, again, it just wants to know everything because the more it knows, the more it thinks it's going to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. So when you're feeling that energy, it's just energy and your brain says, oh man, there's a lot of energy. What's going on here? And it starts telling stories. Mm-hmm. Is it this? Is it that? Mm-hmm. Did I forget something? You know, before you know it, it's like, and then sometimes in our case, it's like, oh, the anxiety's back and I knew it and I knew I'd never be, you know, it's the story can take any shape or form. Our brain is so creative. It's a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. And it's just so clear to see. And it was when I talked to you, like, oh my gosh, she's so okay. Mm-hmm. There's just energy. Mm-hmm. And then there's these stories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the stories get us every time. But I love that you heard in that the energy is just here to be seen. It just wants to move through. And I think the stories sometimes even, like, you know, we don't need to sit and dissect them and argue with them, mm-hmm. but sometimes they're just coming up to be seen too, or it's worth just looking at, like, oh, look at my mind saying this is back and painting a picture of what the future is now going to look like, mm-hmm. all the while I'm just sitting here safe on my couch, right. You know? And so right. It's good to just kind of look at those stories too sometimes and just see, wow, this story is just energy too. Mm-hmm. Everything we feel is a fluctuation of energy, mm-hmm. and man, they feel so personal, and there's good reason for that. Again, just to see why, mm-hmm. our brain, it just wants to make meaning and interpret everything because it thinks, oh, I'm Patricia's brain, I'm Rob's brain. My job is to keep Patricia and Rob alive, mm-hmm. and they need to know what's what and who they are and what's coming down the track. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna storytell, mm-hmm. you know, and we can just start to see that a lot of it just starts to look more like energy and diffuse.
Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing after that, like what I'm feeling, I actually can feel when the energy of a negative situation or something I don't want to be in, actually I can start feeling it now in my body. Mm-hmm. And that's so helpful because, you know, I'll be talking and then I'll just get like this, you know, usually it starts in my stomach. Sometimes it starts at my feet and it works its way through my body. And I'm like, it's gone. And it's seconds. And I would spend months, months trying to stop that, even though I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware that it was a energy feeling. Like, you know, because you're not. You just don't know. When I feel that, I just let it go, like through. And I'm like, well, what, you know, what are you thinking or whatever? And not analyzing it. I used to sometimes lay in bed at night. I don't know if other people have, and like try to like rehash stories and see where I went wrong so I can change it. Yeah. And I'd end up with a panic attack because I was just thinking it through. And it was just disastrous, but not realizing we don't have to go back there to change anything because it's not there, you know, and it's just a story.
That is, it's so big to just, because you're right, so much of it is the figuring it out and the pushing it away and the, like, I can't feel this, I can't feel this, and all of that, you know, and to just say, we can feel it. Mm-hmm. We've all felt energy in so many different forms our entire life, and we always will. Mm-hmm. And we've lived through it all. We really can feel it. We do feel mm-hmm. it. We just have a mind up here saying, can't feel that mm-hmm. we don't like this. This is too much.
Yeah.
So yes, like you said, to just sort of lean into it and feel it's just feel the sensation of it. Exactly mm-hmm. what you said. People say like, wow, that was over in, you know, a minute, and it would have lasted hours before because I would have been thinking about it, not feeling it, but thinking about it.
Yes. Yes. And had it already like passed through or like putting the story around, it kept it so much longer. And I just try to stress to people all the time. Like, it's just, it's not. And I feel sometimes like a reformed drinker because I'm like, well, this is what it is. And they're like, you a couple months ago? I don't think so. But yeah, but it's just amazing. And I, and then of course I wonder sometimes, I'm like, where was the point where I forgot or I didn't allow that to come through, you know? And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but if we all have that, you know, when wasn't I allowed to feel it? You know, so that's just an interesting thing. But I also say to Hannah a lot of times, you know, when she gets angry or whatever, I'm like, just feel it through. I said, if you're angry, be angry. You know, if you're crying, finish. And then she's done. And it's amazing. Children know to do that. You know, she's getting a little bit more caught up now because she's getting older, I guess. But I'm like, feel your feelings. That's the most important thing I try to tell her, especially now. You know, kids don't need additional crazy on top of the crazy already going on. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we try. So yeah, this is so awesome though. I'm so excited for you. So are you celebrating this book?
I am. So I'm going to have a big virtual book launch party on October 1st when it comes out. And that's just, I'll just be on Zoom. It's free to anyone to join. And I'll be talking about some of the themes in the book, kind of like we are, some of the backstories, some of the stuff, like I mentioned about the train that I had to cut. So I think I love to geek out on that as a reader, you know, to like hear some of the inside scoop and everything. So I'll be sharing some of that. And I'm excited.
Yeah, we already RSVP'd, so awesome. We will be there.
Cool. Now everybody has to bring their own hors d'oeuvres. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. And you're also, and I know I'm participating in this, the book club. I'm very excited. So if you can talk a little bit about that for our listeners.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're going to be part of it. So so I'll be doing a book club starting in mid-October, where each week we'll kind of split the book up into six sections and we'll read the book together. I've created a video for each chapter that again kind of goes deeper into each chapter. And then we'll meet weekly on Zoom, bi-weekly really. So I'll be leading a call every week on Zoom to kind of just discuss the book and go deeper. And then some of my amazing coaches like you, Patricia, are going to be taking small groups. So I think that piece of this is going to be so cool. People will be able to be part of the bigger group discussion, but they'll also have an opportunity every single week to be in a really small group with a couple coaches if they just want to really bring this to life in a new way and get some support that way.
That's super exciting. I love that it's like a curriculum, kind of like your little school. Like I think I'm seeing it as that, like you can do the journal prompts, you can join the book club. You can also, you know, I do like the YouTube all the time. Like I do the Ask Amy's all the time. And I suggest to people, because you had said it, your first five podcasts of Changeable. So could you say a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So those are, because I have I don't know, a lot of episodes by now. And you guys know, because you know how it is, podcasting too. Like your episodes, mine is a very similar format to yours. Some are just me, a lot are guests. And, you know, you can pick and choose, but it's a little different. Like when you're picking and choosing, you're just going to hear whatever you feel like hearing that day. And that's wonderful. Then I think, I know I started mine off thinking like, okay, I want to share something that has something to it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, there's something here I want to point toward. It's the first several episodes are kind of almost like a mini course. So yeah, I always try to get people to do those first.
I think it's fantastic. I would love to one day do a course around that. So I think I'm going to try to see what I can do about that and just get a couple people and let's listen and let's talk. I think that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So what else? Anything else going on with you besides that? How's the school going?
It's great. We're in week two with the new group. And oh my gosh, I mean, I just love every group that comes through, and it does feel like they're coming through a little more onto things each time. I say that every time, but that's been the case lately. So it's just a really fun experience. I think it's something that it's very easy for me, it is. And I think I get this from other people sometimes. It's very easy for us to just live our lives and just stay busy and sort of know off in the distance, like, yeah, I know that it could be easier than this, or I know there's stuff I could see more around, but I'm doing okay. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I was like that for my whole life until not too long ago. And where it's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll get to that later. You know, I'll be happy later. I just got to push through, or when the kids get older or whatever. And I just, I don't know, I guess I just really feel like I want people to know that this nicer experience, a more expansive experience, is available right now for everyone. And it's not hard, and it doesn't take a lot of work. Yeah. Listening to these conversations that you have with people, like, this is starting to wake people up to see things in a different way. Yeah. Going through something like the book with people, like, these things are not major investments in time. It's not, you know, you're not signing on to like decades of therapy. Right. It's just doing something, like you mentioned, a little structured, or being around people, like-minded people. It's incredible what that does for us. So, you know, a little bit goes a long way, and your show does that. I hope my show does that. This book, like, all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. It's my Monday morning. My Monday morning, I turn right on. And sometimes if my internet's down, I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I need my fix. I need my Monday morning. But no, it's wonderful. And I think that people can look, you know, into, and I always say, stay in the conversation, like you've always said. And so it was 3 years ago, actually 3 years ago this week, that I had a breakdown and then found you. So I'm so grateful to you. So thank you. You have your understanding of this and your sharing of this, and you personally, I know you don't, you probably don't think that that is true, but you personally have really, you've changed our lives. You really have. So thank you for using your gifts and sharing with this world, because we need more of that. And
I will echo that 100%.
Yeah.
And if anything, even from what I've learned through osmosis, as I tell everyone, I've been able to point people in this direction based on things that they've brought up to me. Well, I'm having an issue with this or this. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of tell them what I've learned along the way. And I try to give them resources. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I've steered a few people in this direction. So that's a good thing. And I think one of our episodes too, which is another thing too, is we had shared with RJ. Uh-huh. And I think initially with the story, RJ said that his wife initially took the course, and he was like, yeah, okay. And then he took it as well. And so now he's very involved as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. It's such a gentler existence. Yeah. I think, like, we were so angry all the time. I didn't realize how angry, and everybody ticked us off, and every person that drove couldn't drive right, and every person we encountered in the grocery store was rude. And it's like, no. And like, I find, like, even smiling at people, like, it's so different now. And I absolutely just love it. And I think, like, even our relationship, I mean, we've talked about it several times, but our relationship's so much better because of knowing it's thought. Mm-hmm. And energy, and it's just, that's all it is.
It's amazing. I love how you said that. It is, because again, it points back to that it's subtle, but it's also big. It's just a gentler existence, but it makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Like, just yesterday I heard some sad news about someone in our neighborhood, and I just started crying. And I remember all the years when I couldn't cry. I was angry too. And I had all these walls up, and it just felt like that. I don't know what that really means, but do you know what I mean? Where it was just like, whatever, I don't have time for, like, that's sad. But then I'd be so distracted. And I'm just so grateful now that I could just cry over hearing that a stranger died, and that, you know, like, just, and the happy things too, like just being like, just so overwhelmed with gratitude at moments and stuff. I mean, it's a gentler existence. It's a deeper existence.
Yeah.
It's not huge from the outside looking in, but you feel it. There's a depth.
There absolutely is. And I think that you definitely hit the nail on the head with that, because it's not what I thought it was going to be, which is bells and whistles and things were going to change. And I was going to look different and I was going to talk different, yes. And, you know, but it's just like, it's different, you know? So it's kind of like hard to put words around, but again, so simple and so beautiful and so life-changing. So yes, thank you so much. So we have to have you on again, but I want to wish you all the best with your launch and thank you. And as I was reading, I'm like, yeah, me too. Did Amy grow up in my house? Or
I grew up in your head.
Yes, exactly. Like the stories are just so similar with everything. And I think our listeners are just absolutely going to love it. So we'll link to that and to the book and to all of your resources. And yeah, we're going to continue with this. So do you have anything else to say, Rob?
I've heard a lot. I really have nothing else to add at this point. So, but this has definitely been enjoyable.
It has.
And you'll be like our Tonight Show guest. You know, it's always a good standby guest who always has great information and excellent entertainment. So
yeah,
I'm honored to be that. Thank you guys so much.
At least once a year. Thank you. And you are definitely an inspiration for us to continue doing this and to have our guests on who are just, everybody has a story, and we absolutely love that part too.
Your show is amazing. I love that you guys keep doing this.
Thank you. Thank you for being a friend. We'll see you soon. Bye, Amy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Another wonderful interview from another wonderful guest, Dr. Amy Johnson, and her book called Just a Thought, here on Our Imperfect Life. And would you like to tell the folks out there how they could possibly get a copy of this book?
I sure would. You can order the book through the links that are listed below, as well as the links to her book club that she's going to be having. And I will be one of the moderators for the book club, and I'm very excited about that. And also,
there's an online release party.
Yeah.
Right?
So check that out through Facebook. I'll try to link it if I can down below as well. So you can check all that out. And
you get the background of the book and all other great things. Bring your own hors d'oeuvres, though, as we discussed.
There's giveaways and all kinds of stuff. So that's so exciting.
And other exciting things going on here on the podcast. What exciting things do we have?
Well, after 43 episodes, we finally have a website.
Really?
Yeah. I just...
I've never seen the Instagram.
I've created a website.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I'll be able to get that. I'm website savvy.
Yes, because what I'm going to start doing is actually sending out a newsletter. And I'm very excited about that, because it's going to be behind the scenes, some videos, some recipes, and some other kind of fun stuff that goes on at this house. And I think you guys might enjoy it. If not, you can just unsubscribe. But I hope that you would subscribe, and that's going to be linked below as well. It's www.ourimperfectlifepodcast.com.
All one word.
All one word, yes.
I always like to say that, because people go, oh, I couldn't get it. There was a space. So it's all one word. www.ourimperfectlifepodcast.com.
Yeah. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you can subscribe to our newsletter, and I will start sending out newsletters. And I just think, you know, we can have fun with that too.
All right. So it sounds like you need a little bit of rest and relaxation, maybe a little bit of Benadryl. Well, maybe not Benadryl, but...
I kind of do. I mean, thank goodness we did all of our interviews when I wasn't...
Before the sniffles hit
bedridden it, so. With this cold.
So... Anyways, you do what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah, so everything worked out really well, and now just the outro and the intro are going to have me sounding like I'm holding my nose, but we're on the upswing of all of us being very healthy again. So, yeah.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for us this time. So until next time, my name is Rob.
And I'm Patricia.
And thank you for joining us today on Our Imperfect Life.